Amen and amen. It sure is good to see y'all. Amen. You know, I seen something not too long ago, and they were some foreigners that I was watching, and they couldn't speak a bit of English, but they made a reference to the word hallelujah. And when they said it just like that. Hallelujah. I could be totally wrong, but everything I've ever read, everything I've ever seen, that in all languages around the world, hallelujah is pronounced hallelujah. Doesn't matter what language it is. They all say it the same way. They say hallelujah, which means praise ye the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Universal. Praise the Lord. Amen. And all languages said the same. To God be the glory. The message of the gospel and song. Amen. All right. Take your word, if you would, and turn to the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12. Y'all been enjoying your time journeying through Romans? Ooh, this is some good stuff. It's such a great message. It's such a great word. It is the Bible within a Bible. It is the gospel. It is the good news. It is the blessings of the Lord. And what we find up to this point, chapter 1 through 11, is Paul's teaching these great truths of God and His good news, man and our fall, the introduction of the law and its purpose, and the revelation of Christ and the purpose of redemption, and why we as the Gentiles were able to come into the kingdom because God in His unfathomable wisdom put a temporary blindness over the eyes of the Jews so that He would turn His salvation completely and utterly to the Gentiles to bring in the rest of the world to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there is a plan of God. In chapter 11, we see this. When the fullness of the Gentiles come into the faith, when the last one, y'all, we could rejoice in here today, God knows who he is or who she is already. Amen. When the last soul of the Gentiles come into the faith, that whoever that person is, whatever age that is, could it be within the next couple of days? Could it be today? Could it be next week? Could it be a year from now? Could it be 10 years? Could it be 100 years from now? We have no idea, but I want to tell you, He knows. Amen. And it's already predetermined. Ain't nothing going to change it. Ain't nothing going to alter it. Ain't nothing going to set it back. When God brings the last Gentile within this age that we're in right now, and we've been in the last days since the days of Jesus. We've been in the last days. Well, when that last person, and when the fullness of the Gentiles comes, the scripture says, then God's going to shift back to the Jew, and the Jews will see Jesus for who he is. And they are going to recognize him as the Messiah. They're going to see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God's going to do something wonderful in the lives of those that are living in that day. And the things are going to shift and change. Now, up until that point, we've got a mission to accomplish. Amen. And that's why Paul closes Romans 11 with these words. Romans 11:36, he says, "For of God and through God and to God are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. "For of him, through him, and to him." This was all of God. This is all through him. And this will be all for him. And anything of anything that ain't of him, through him, and to him, or for him, has no eternal value to it whatsoever. Amen. God's got to be in it. Amen. God's got to be working through it. And it needs to be unto the glory of the Lord. So chapter number 12 starts out like this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has appointed or dealt to each one a metric, a degree, a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Jesus, in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Go ahead and bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men, and if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is what? It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what do you do? If he's thirsty, what do you do? For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, thank you for this revelation, this word. We want to take a minute today before you and just ask you to help us with it, that we can see how everything that this message up to this point has been preparing the disciples for this application of the word. That what you've done in us is to be worked out of us. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for it and give you glory and just ask you right now to open our understanding to be able to comprehend these great, wonderful truths you've laid in our lap, not only to hear, but also to apply in our everyday life. We need you, as this book has continually reminded us, as your spirit testifies to us, as the entire truth continues to unveil, that without you, we can do nothing for you nor for your glory or with any eternal value. So, Lord, we're at your mercy. We're at your mercy. And we give ourselves to you today for you to transform our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. What a word, amen. What a word. Paul dealing with the reality of these mercies of dependent upon, if everything that is of anything comes from him, is through him and for him, that would apply in everything else we're going to read as well. It's got to be of him, through him, and to him or for him. And he says, as a result, when we think about these great mercies that have been extended to us, God didn't have to graft us in. He chose to graft us in. He didn't have to extend grace to us. He chose to extend grace to us. He didn't have to call us. He's chosen to call us. And he's done it based on his mercies and his great love and through the grace of the Lord Jesus. And he invites us to give ourselves to him continually from day to day, that our minds can be renewed and refreshed and transformed, that the circumstances of life that we go through is not what's shaping us, but what he's doing in the circumstance, the truths, the revelations, his presence, his purpose, his priorities, what he's doing in the midst of that is what is being used to transform us to look more and more like him in everyday life. And as we read in these things, no different than, I'll give you a couple other passages, not that we're going to go to them just now, but they go together with one another. For an example, Paul is showing that, hey, because you've received this grace in Christ, God in Christ has also graced us with gifts to be applied to the body for the purpose to edify or lift up the body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 run parallel with what Paul just proclaimed to the church at Rome. So what he said to Corinth while he was in Corinth writing to the church at Rome, he testifies to the same things, but he gets into some things in chapter 12 of Romans that he didn't say in the book of Corinthians. He talks about a few gifts that he doesn't mention in Corinthians. The same thing in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4 is dealing with that when Christ ascended, he gave gifts unto men, and he lists these gifts and he tells us the purpose of these gifts. And all this runs parallel with one another, because God is never a God of confusion. God never contradicts himself. And the whole point of the gifts is this, that God is the resource of them. He's the supplier. He's the giver. It's according to his grace. It is given by the will of God through the Spirit of God for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the resource. God is. Now, the reason for the gift is that Christ be manifested out of our lives. That's why God gives us the gift. The scriptures talk about it in Corinthians, that people will see Jesus. That's why God gift us with the grace, that they would see Jesus, that the life of Christ would be manifested out of our mortal flesh. Now, the reward of that is this, that the body of Christ is built up.
Amen.
The body is edified. God's gifted you. He's the source of it. The reason he gifted you so that people would see Jesus. And the reward of people seeing Jesus in you is that you're able then to transfer that grace gift and build them up. And every one of us has been gifted by God with a specific purpose in the body of Christ to edify the body, to build one another up. I want to be part of that work. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what Romans does, it gets into some areas that Ephesians doesn't talk about and what Corinthians doesn't talk about. So when you compile Romans and Ephesians and Corinthians together, you get this picture of God's redeeming grace, God's redeeming gifts, and God's redeeming glory being manifested upon his people to build up the body of Christ. And that's what we see in these verses in 3 through verse number 9. But in every one of these, in both Ephesians and Corinthians and including Romans, you're going to see a couple elements that are always there. Number one, you're going to see faith, which comes from God. Remember, things are what? From him or of him, what? Through him and for him or to him. Faith comes from God. Amen. Number two you're going to see is you're going to see love. Yeah. You're always going to see love. Going to be manifested out of that. And number three, you'll always see this eternal hope that God establishes within these gifts. That's what's going to be manifested. Faith, love, and hope. Now, the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Corinthians tells us that. But in every element of it, you're going to see those things manifested. If it's of God, through Him, and to Him, faith, love, and hope are going to always be involved in it. And that's how you can measure out what God is doing. That's how we can see if we're in the right motive of what God is doing. If love is involved, faith is involved, and it's establishing a hope that never disappoints. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we know when God is at work in it. And that's why we see in here, he talks about in verse number three, that God gives us a measure, a degree of faith. And that is saying God has dealt to each one a measure. The word metron or metric, something to measure out to us. He gave us each a measure of faith. Now, different ones have different measures, but he gave each one a measure.
Amen.
And faith only comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing by the word of God. Some people exercise greater faith than other people. But what he's teaching us is that don't think any more highly of yourself if you're a person of great faith or a person of little faith. Why? Because it's not about you to begin with. It's about the resource of where it came from. It's about the reason that he gave it to you so that they would see Jesus out of that faith. And it's for the reward that your brethren are built up in the faith when they see Jesus. And whatever measure he's given you, it's the correct measure. Amen?
Amen.
It's just what he wanted you to have so you can walk in it and give him glory. So if you think too highly of yourself, you'll start patting yourself on the back. You'll start looking down on other people around you. And then your love can't be sincere. Your love will be tainted with pride, and no different than the law. The law operates that way. Why? Because the law operates, when it does operate in a person, through the flesh, and the flesh is tainted. That's why the scriptures teach us that no man could be justified by the law. That's what Paul's been teaching us again and again all the way through Romans. For an example, the law, we notice as Jesus was walking through this earth and he was teaching people, and anybody that thought they kept the law, they saw themselves as high and mighty. They would pat themselves on the back. And then you had those people that, on the other hand, were broken down and condemned in guilt and shame because of the result of the law. And that was a good place to be. But you can't turn that good place into false humility and not let the grace of God be at work. Remember, I told you before, I illustrated with, let's say, eating. How many of y'all ate some pumpkin or sweet potato pie during Thanksgiving? What do you prefer, Karen? Pumpkin or sweet potato? Pumpkin. Greg? Sweet potato. Who else? Who else likes pumpkin? None of y'all? Oh, you like both of them? Which one you prefer, Danny? Pecan pie?
No.
Oh. Boy, Marcus made a good pecan pie. He sure did. I've illustrated the law similar to like a pecan pie, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. I like pumpkin pie. Boy, that's one of my favorites. Pumpkin pie. I eat my weight in it. Make myself sick over it. I like it. I really do. Gave me diabetes, I believe. I like it. I could eat it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just didn't.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I understand that. I'm with you. I like sweet potato too. I do. Egg custard. Now, Pam makes a good egg custard. Speaking of Betty Wiggins, she makes a real good egg custard. That thing's good now. What's that? Stephanie says the same thing. But if you get the right egg custard, It'll change your spirit now, I'm telling you. Stephanie said there ain't no right egg custard. See, it's a matter of your appetite, right? You can. Look at that. You've done it. So have I. That you got him over an egg custard pie, huh? Look at there. That's like, how many of y'all eat chicken livers? Say it again. Man, Stephanie says, ugh. You know, I've told y'all before, Jesus and chicken livers are a lot alike. Either you love them or you don't. Amen. And when you love him, you love him. If you don't, you don't. Well, pies like that, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, egg custard, whatever it may be. Stephanie made a pink velvet, red velvet, pink velvet cake for Rosalind's birthday. And boy, that thing was mighty good. We made that banana pudding the other day. Brother Shannon liked to got in that banana pudding.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, Brother Shannon likes that banana pudding. Remember we talked about how the law, when you eat banana pudding, as an adult with information and knowledge, when you eat those kind of sweets like that, sometimes you feel guilty for eating and you don't overeat because you know what it's going to do to you. Are you with me? And even though you don't overeat, you feel guilty because you ate too much that you felt you shouldn't have ate and you condemned over it. Then you like Greg, who don't let it bother him at all because his conscience is seared, right? I lived like that for a long time, too, and I paid for it, brother. It cost me. But then, if you don't eat and you bypass it, you feel good about yourself. See, that's how the law. When you think you walked in the law and you did it right, you commend yourself. You don't do anything toward the glory of God. You praise yourself for doing that. If you do eat it, then you condemn yourself and you're guilty for eating it because you knew what was in it. But before the law came, you didn't know any of that. Like them grandkids, y'all's grandkids, y'all's little ones. Tammy, they'll eat it all, won't they? I mean, they'll throw up and get back in it and eat it again. There ain't no condemnation. There's no guilt because they just don't know. There's no knowledge. There's no information. See, the law brings knowledge. The law brings knowledge. Well, when we don't love with an authentic love and we taint that, the scripture says, let love be without dissimulation, without a disguise. You've heard me say that term before, without wax. Is the idea something that's authentic and genuine? It's the idea of being a stage player. You putting on an identity of something or someone else. You disguising something. And we have to be careful with that. If I make it about me, and God's not, it's not of God, it's not through Him and to Him, I'm tainting it with myself, and now I'm assuming a character as a stage player that is a disguise, and it's not transferring life. Now, can God still do something with what I do? Of course. God can use anybody He chooses, anytime He chooses, however He chooses. But see, there's no reward on my behalf when I taint it. Amen. And God's gifted me for a reason and with a reward to bring glory and honor unto Him, that people see Jesus and that they don't see me. Amen. They see in Him manifested out of me. It reminds them of Him. And He says that, let love be without hypocrisy. That's that word, sincere, authentic, unfeigned, dissimulation. It just means to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. You ever heard that phrase before? Well, man, they pulled the wool over my eyes. They disguised this. I didn't see it coming. They tricked me. He said, don't let your love be with hypocrisy. Why? Because if it ain't got love in it, Karen, what does Corinthians tell us? Remember, Paul said, if I gave my body to be burned, if I gave everything I had, if I spoke with tongues of angels, if I did all those things, all those hypothetical, impossible things, but I didn't have love, what would it be? Amounts to nothing. It's empty. It's empty. And what Paul is helping us with through these passages of Scripture is that we see this idea of faith, this gifting of what God has given us, and we see this hope that is established within us all. And there's some indicators that we can pick up on. Other passages of Scripture help us with this, that teach us some of these things. For an example, y'all probably wondering, you know, why in the world is the preacher in camouflage today? Well, I told Tammy because LSU beat Florida, I didn't want her to see me today. I was going to hide. But that's not really the thing. I was riding down the road yesterday. You know, we had a good rain. And I love the woods when it rains. I love the image of the trees and the leaves. Lucas, you know what I'm talking about. Greg, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a hunter and you've been in the woods, Danny, on a rainy day, you can see better. You can see deer moving better. Why? Because there's no shadows when it's rainy. And there's just an image. There's just something about those woods and those leaves on a rainy, wet day that I just thoroughly enjoy. You see, but that enjoyment, that magical picture, or like snow. How many of y'all like to see snow? Amen. Like to see snow cover a landscape. You see, but that magical picture can turn to misery real quick if I'm not properly clothed, if I'm not properly covered. What was a blessing, could be a delight and a blessing, all of a sudden becomes a burden because I'm getting wet and I'm not properly clothed for it. And that's a good indicator for us when we find ourselves in situations in life and we can't bless those that mistreat us and we can't pray for those that are that hate us, and we can't love those that are not loving us back. That's just telling me that I'm not properly clothed. I'm not clothed right. Because if I was clothed right, those things wouldn't have the effect on me that they're having on me, and I can enjoy the circumstances that I've been immersed in because I'm properly clothed. I'm covered. Tonight we'll come back and look at some passages of Scripture that and some truths that tie all these things together about being properly or rightly covered and clothed. Now sometimes I can, like for an example in here right now, I'm not properly clothed for this circumstance. I'm hot. These some dry bone insulated thermal clothes here that I am hot. This coat is a wool coat. I got this old toboggan on. I'm not properly clothed and I'm starting to get miserable underneath. You see, that's the same. What this should be a pleasant place, but because of not being rightly clothed, I'm miserable. And the same thing happens with you and me when God immerses us in the circumstances and situation that I've not been properly clothed for. Then I begin to become defensive, and I become self-preservation to protect myself. Like if Lucas was in the elements and the rainstorm come through and he's out in the woods, a picture of a wet woods that he normally would like to see now becomes a burden to him, and he's trying to find cover somewhere. He's trying to get in a cover somewhere because he's not prepared for it. You see, I've got clothes. I've got rain gear. I've got those things that I can sit in the middle of a rainstorm and stay dry and still hunt because I got the right clothes to wear. And the Bible teaches us again and again, older, newer testaments, that God's grace and His goodness toward us clothes us. That it clothes us, number one, with Him. Number two, with His love. And when we are properly clothed, we can go through and embrace any circumstance and situation in life. But if I'm not properly clothed, I'm just going to be miserable. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be tense. It's It's going to be a problem for me. And I'm going to reflect that on everybody around me. Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm going to reflect it in my home. I'm going to reflect it on the job. And you think about it. Where we are right now, and here before we go, you say, preacher, you don't look right. Coming to church dressed up in full camo. But I want you to think about it from the perspective of often how we look from day to day. When we don't get up, we don't take our time, we don't seek God, seek His face through prayer, seek Him in His message, seek Him in His Word, to be properly clothed by Him for the day that He's put before us to walk in. Are you with me? I think a lot of times we go out in this old world, and when the angelic host sees us and God sees us, we may not be able to see it on somebody at the time, but they see us. We're just not properly clothed or covered for the day.
Amen.
Because we've neglected a couple things that morning before the Lord. Are you with me?
Yeah, come on.
We're not properly dressed. And I want to tell you, it's going to show up. It's going to show up when you get around somebody and they don't treat you the way you think you ought to be treated. Or circumstances come and you don't think it should be coming towards you. Or somebody says something, or somebody does something, or you hear something, it's going to show up how well clothed you are.
Yeah.
Are you suited for it? Amen?
Amen.
Are you suited for it? Stephanie's got shoes that she can wear on clear days, and she got shoes she can't wear on rainy days. Are you with me? So she got to know what the weather's like depending on the shoes she's going to wear. And she's got some nice shoes that she's even gone out and we bought some protective stuff to spray on them to cover them just in case she gets caught in a rainstorm somewhere. And she had those shoes on. Are you with me? You got to cover yourself. Are you with me? Walking with Jesus, and this is what Paul's saying. All that he's been teaching is teaching them how to cover themselves.
Amen.
To be covered in Jesus. To be covered in His blood. To be covered in His love. So that when we enter into a world of believers and unbelievers, our love don't have to be a stage player. We don't have to pull the wool over nobody's eyes. Amen. We can be clear and pure and authentic, and we can help somebody whatever they're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight we'll journey and look at a few passages. You'll see they all say identically the same thing of what God's done and what He's doing, and they flow right with what we're reading right now in the book of Romans. Faith, hope, and love. Or faith, love, and hope. Or love, hope, and faith. You're just not going to get away from it.
Come on.
And the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Father, we thank You. We bless You. Thank You for loving us, for doing something with us, for properly preparing us and clothing us for whatever we are going to face in a given day. We thankful and praise You. For You tell us that love never fails. Not just any kind of love. A love that's of You, a love that's through You, and a love that's for You. It never, ever fails. It never fails. There's no test. There's no test that it cannot take. It never, ever fails. Help us. Clothe us. May we meet with You from day to day and be properly clothed with our garments that You've given. Thank You right now, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Have you ever been miserable? Just miserable. Just miserable. And nothing about your life in that misery changed. But God did something in you that changed you. And what once was misery to you, all of a sudden became a beautiful thing that God used and was using, is using, to manifest His beauty to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mm.
Thank you, Stephen, for your special.
Wasn't that pretty? What a message in song. Yes, amen. Any others? Y'all keep praying for one another. Amen. Amen. Keep praying for one another. Y'all stay safe out there. Lord willing, we'll gather back tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, and we'll jump in the Word, sing songs, praise God, and update one another. Keep praying for Tammy and her mother. And the Lord will open those doors and do a mighty work there. Amen.
Amen.
But it sure is good to see you. I've been missing y'all.